You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I want to get to two things here before we get to Tony Khan, who runs AEW, friend of the show. There are two things that were happening during the break before he came in here and joined us in studio. You could check out AEW Dynamite every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. AEW Rampage every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Both of those are on TNT. The two things that were going on were, while Greg Cody was preparing for this pumpkin challenge, I walked into the other room. He was around the pumpkins, his pumpkin, Jessica's pumpkin. Pumpkins were hard to get after Halloween. That was a bit of a surprise. And he was just laughing in a room by himself. And I came in and I'm like, what are you laughing? Just like that. What are you laughing? And he's like, nothing to see here. Never mind. Nothing to see here, Dan. You didn't see anything. So I don't know what he's got going on, but something's going to happen on YouTube here in a little while. And I felt like I walked in on you trying to sabotage Jessica, perhaps.
Oh, I would never do that. Come on. Who do you take me for?
While he was doing that, and I'm sorry to burden you with this, Tony, we'll get to you in a second, but Billy and Tony were having a raging argument about Danny DeVito. I don't know where that started, but Billy was screaming at Tony.
Not me.
Not you, at the other Tony. Who the hell is Tony? Not the Tony that
my
we know.
My Tony.
Yes, Stugatz is Tony. Mm-hmm. What was the nature of that argument about Danny DeVito?
Well, we saw a proper 12 whiskey truck driving around outside. So then we started talking about which is the crappiest celebrity that has their own alcohol. So we were looking it up. And then, by the way, if you want to know the winner from our early research, it's Mike Piazza and Billy Bush are tied.
Tied.
Yeah.
Piazza?
Well, how is Mike Piazza tied with Billy Bush? Like, they're not the same.
That's a good point, by Tone.
Is it?
They're not the same. Mike Piazza is kind of a Hall of Fame catcher.
And Billy Bush is...
It's not the most famous person in his own family.
Okay, so anyway, so we were talking about that, and then we got to Danny DeVito, and I was like, Danny DeVito, that's a strange one. But this was only a list of 12 at the time. Then we found a list of about 600. So we said Danny DeVito was weird, and then Tony was arguing what a big star Danny DeVito is.
A big star, though. Yeah.
And then my argument to you was, if I gave you 100 celebrities you said you wanted to hang out with, you would forget to add Danny DeVito.
I would not forget Danny DeVito. I'm an Always Sunny fan, so I would have him at least maybe 79 to 87.
You'd forget Danny DeVito.
It's a fair range.
No. Don't you remember what happened with George Clooney in the Limoncello after One Wild Night with Danny DeVito?
Exactly.
No. Yeah, that guy's top 10.
You mentioned Clooney, and this is what we were talking about, because Clooney sold Casamigos for whatever, $1 billion, and gave all of his friends a suitcase full of cash, $1 million. He just started handing out to his friends because he made so much money just lending his name to a liquor. That's where the conversation started. Is this news to you, Khan? You know everywhere that people are making money. I thought that one of the great scams is just lending your celebrity name to a liquor and hoping it pops.
Well,
because
fact,
we love famous
in fact,
things.
One of your good friends, one of my good friends, and it's his birthday today. Happy birthday to Chris Jericho. I don't know if this is going to actually get released today.
It is.
Oh, hey. All right. Well, then perfect. Happy birthday to Chris Jericho. He's got a big match at the pay-per-view this weekend, wrestling Miami's own Dan Lambert of American Top Team.
Well done.
And he's got his own celebrity alcohol, Dan. He's got a little bit of the bubbly. Mike's drank a lot of it. Mike's drank a lot of a little bit of the bubbly.
It sounds like that's tongue-in-cheek. That Jericho's funny, man. A little bit of the bubbly sounds sufficiently cheesy. Is it doing well?
It's done incredibly well. We've actually gone back for a second run. It's on its second run. So we sold out.
You must love Jericho so much because of how much he wants his fingerprints on everything, how much he cares about making sure that everything that around him is his standard.
Absolutely. He's a great professional, and he's an awesome person to work with, but he's also such a huge star and brings a lot of buzz, and he brings a lot of fans, and I'm really excited for his match this weekend at the pay-per-view. We have a stacked show, and from the beginning of AEW on pay-per-view on TV, Chris has been one of the key people that got it going.
Have you met a lot of people in the sport, never mind with his star power, but who care and work that way? Well, in his 50s.
There are very few people, and really there's nobody that's ever had the run Chris has had in terms of spanning that length of career at this level on TV pretty the entire time for the bulk of his career through WCW, WWE, and now AEW. And Chris in AEW, when we started, was the huge name, the big star that we built a lot of our TV and pay-per-view shows around, and he's still a huge name. We have a show called Rampage. When I first came on, we had launched AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite, which has done really, really well since I first came on the show and talked about it. We've had six straight weeks recently where we were the number one show on Wednesday, six straight Wednesdays. And they gave us a second show called Friday Night Rampage. And Chris actually is also a commentator on that show. And not only is he a great wrestler, he's a great commentator. And Chris works really hard at everything he does. And now he's new to the commentating, and I'm sure he's going to get really good at that as well. But I have to say, as a wrestler, as a wrestling interview, and also as a professional and somebody who organizes his segments, somebody who makes sure that he's always prepared, always comes in with good ideas, and also somebody that holds other people to a really high standard. There's very few people like Chris Jericho, and then to sustain it for so many years, it's unprecedented.
What does it mean that you beat SmackDown in a ratings battle? I did not. When you've come on and talked to us about this venture and this business enterprise, you put the bar very high, and it seems like you've exceeded it all much faster than you intended to, because this seems to have happened in a short period of time. SmackDown, the incumbent, this is not easy to get here this fast.
Well, that's our two shows are Wednesday Night Dynamite and Friday Rampage, and I think what happened here is Mike gave you some quick info as we came in, but you may not have known the background of it. So SmackDown normally would air on Fox, and they had preempted the show to Fox Sports 1. And that put them on cable, which is also the medium that Rampage is on TNT. So with our show being from 10 to 11 p.m. and their show being 8 to 10, they decided to do an extra half hour head-to-head with us, which I didn't really expect and was surprised by, but then was up for the challenge. It was kind of a unique situation because I had already announced the card, and it was a good card, but it wasn't like the most loaded stack card I would have put together necessarily if I'd known I was doing 30 minutes head-to-head. But I also felt like I kind of had to stick with what I'd put on that card because there was really good stuff on there, and also it was the flow of the stories. And I just thought it would have looked pretty desperate if I'd changed the card up because I was going head-to-head, and also I really believed in what we had. What we had was CM Punk, who's come back to pro wrestling and made a huge difference. And, since the last time we visited, I've gotten a huge lift in pretty much every business metric because of his arrival and the arrival of some more new stars. Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, Ruby Soho all came in really quickly, and they're all really big names in wrestling. And it's been kind of a perfect storm of a lot of good things happening for AEW. And the launch of Friday Rampage, I didn't expect to go head-to-head with them, but we did, And the way that our network kind of scores everything, the way they like, you know, would rate our performances by how we do in the 18 to 49 demographic, it, definitely we care about how people older than that or younger than that feel about the show and how they watch it and what they like and don't like about it. But the 18 to 49 demo is what they give us the numbers on, and it seems to be the main thing they focus on. And we did beat them in the demo. Now, another cool thing about it is they came at us commercial free and with a lot of their big stars. And I was not expecting that. And
it was a surprise sneak attack. You had to make some quick decisions, big decisions.
Tony, they also played dirty pool because they started leaking out almost immediately, not exactly how accurate ratings work, to other media members such as Darren Revell, who days later, after the full data came out, you enjoyed taking a victory lap on.
They brought the fight to you. They tried to bring the fight to you.
But Tony's beaming right now. He really is.
Yeah. He's radiant.
I'm so glad you guys are the ones saying this.
Yes.
Tony, you said plenty for yourself there.
If you guys think the pro football aggregation sites are bad, like, you should see the wrestling aggregation site headlines. Like, so I'm so glad that you guys are the ones.
You've been very kind. Look, at every turn, you have not instigated anything.
The victory tour on Twitter, though, was the first time that Tony was like,
You know what, Mike? It was actually the run up. I was on the week ahead. I was pretty aggressive, too, because it wasn't my choice. And like Dan said, you know, I'll leave it to what Dan
said. They brought the fight to you. Surprise sneak attack. Cheap shot. You didn't change your card, even though it was tempting because they did a surprise sneak attack on you. And you stood your ground and you're like, oh, on the merits of what I already had with a surprise sneak attack ordered by your business assassins when I've been totally kind about saying this isn't a rivalry. There's a plenty of room for everybody.
Dan's words, not Tony's, by the way.
You ended up doing what on Twitter to Darren Revell once the numbers came out more completely?
So I actually ended up sending him the actual numbers with every, because he had tweeted out some pretty misleading numbers about what had been the ratings over the weekend that he'd gotten leaked to him. And so when the stuff actually came out, I sent it to him, which is the demo, which, you know, somebody in Darren Revell's line of work, I think they would know that that's like what TV networks, 18 to 49, that's typically what they send you. You've hosted very successful cable show. You know, they send you that data. And that's the top line number. And that's also the TV chart. Like, you know, when they send the ratings chart out or when you even go online and look for it, it's always organized by the 18 to 49. And we beat them in the 18 to 49 really pretty cleanly. And I had a 30-minute head-to-head window, and I had to do 6 minutes of commercials. CM Punk won his segment decisively. And then the second segment, which was Ruby Soho versus The Bunny, two female wrestlers who fans had been just really mean to and said, like, your segment's not going to do well. And Ruby Soho is a big star who had been fired from WWE just months earlier. And they went up against a contract signing of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And they if you look at it, they tied it. But in their 15-minute quarter, that's where I'd push all 6 minutes of the commercials. So actually, like, without the commercials, they would have beat that segment. And then the previous 15-minute quarter was CM Punk and Matt Sydal head-to-head with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. And that is a big match. And our match was a big match, too, and it decisively beat their match.
If I had asked you 2 years ago, how soon will that set of scenarios play out in your life, or 3 years ago, right when you're beginning to hatch this idea with your father, you would have told me that won't happen for 10 years, right? That won't happen for 15 years.
I would have been very surprised, especially by how the whole thing happened, because Mike is a big wrestling fan, so he'll tell you, like, I think it was a small bite of what a lot of fans actually kind of wanted. It was, for one night, fans were very interested in the head-to-head because typically we haven't gone head-to-head in a while. There was head-to-head competition on Wednesday for a while. They had brought their show NXT to cable and gone head-to-head when Dynamite first debuted, and that went pretty well for us. I think it was 76 Wednesdays they were on head-to-head, and in the demo, I think we won like 75-1. And in the overall viewers, I think we won like 66 to 10.
It was a public acknowledgement from WWE, who on investor calls would always say, well, phones are the competition. Sleep is the competition, but AEW is not really competition. Well, if they're not competition, why, when you're moved to a cable network, are you extending your show commercial-free, throwing your biggest possible punches at Rampage, which is it's a new show. It's not the flagship of AEW. It's hard to generate audiences on cable.
But
on
we're doing
Friday.
Huge matches on Rampage. I don't want it to get. I mean, just as they built a second franchise, you know, with SmackDown, there was Raw, there was SmackDown, and they built that, and actually they get paid more per hour for SmackDown now. Rampage is a huge show, and I put some of the biggest segments and biggest matches and best matches of the year.
But you're still building an audience.
Yeah,
head to head, AEW beat WWE, who publicly wouldn't acknowledge AEW, but privately put all this.
The last time he was here, it's the theory of first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight.
But that's the best kind to win, because you got revenue and you got ratings. Like you ran your commercials and still outrated them, and that is a special kind of victory for you.
We won the half hour. Thank you so much, man. We won the half hour, 0.25 to 0.22. I believe, and it was a decisive victory, and I was really happy in particular for CM Punk, who is a great person, and I've gotten to know a lot better in the past couple of years, and he had been out of professional wrestling for a really long time, and he had been served a lawsuit by WWE on his wedding day. On the way to his wedding, he gets a lawsuit, and he's really, I think it's been a long time coming for him to come back, because he loves pro wrestling and the pro wrestling fans really love him. And it's been such a blessing for our business. And I thought it was a really cool moment for him to go head to head. And he was wrestling Matt Sydal. It wasn't like the biggest box office opponent I could have put against him necessarily. But the match drew really well because it's a great wrestling match. Matt Sydal's a great technical wrestler. He's a great high flyer. And people were excited to watch the skill of the wrestling match and see the art of it and see CM Punk in his element. It wasn't necessarily about him wrestling the biggest name.
I've got some football questions for you, but I would imagine, given the success vis-a-vis the expectations, that even more now you've been emboldened to continue to double down on the investment, that you will spend more and more to get more and more stardom because you've had more success. I imagine you expected to do some losing at the beginning of money, of ratings, just losing the way that startups lose.
Yeah. I mean, you do, when you start a company, make big investments. And we did put huge money in up front to start AEW. And now, we've been rewarded time and time again. I was here in this building. I went into your dressing room in January of 2020, a couple months before the pandemic hit, and negotiated a TNT contract extension that I'm still working off of. We did a four-year contract, and it was about $175 million for 4 years. And that was only after we'd been on TV for like, you know, just over 3 months. The show had been so successful, and that contract also provided to launch another show, a one-hour show that's now Friday Night Rampage. And we've built this pay-per-view business since the last time I saw you. Every pay-per-view we've done has been up and up and up. And the last show we did, Labor Day weekend, All Out, where CM Punk made his in-ring debut and also a bunch of new stars arrived for the first time, Bryan Danielson, Ruby Soho, Adam Cole. It was really big for us. Another thing that I have to say, like, you know, not only have we hit new highs in pay-per-views, live attendance, we did the Arthur Ashe Stadium where the U.S. Open's held. We sold out for AEW Grand Slam, which is our biggest attendance. We had 20,000 people. It's the biggest attendance for a wrestling show in New York in over a decade. So many things have gone well. But also from a talent acquisition standpoint, some crazy things have happened. I mentioned CM Punk. Bryan Danielson is one of the great wrestlers of all time. He was a free agent. People knew him as Daniel Bryan when he wrestled in WWE. But Bryan Danielson's his real name. It's pretty easy to figure it out. And that's what he wrestled as for many years. He was a legendary independent wrestler before that. To get him and another wrestler, I don't know if you're familiar with, his name is Adam Cole. It's pretty amazing. Adam Cole... and Bryan Danielson to me,
baby,
So Stugatz knows Adam Cole very well.
Of course, who doesn't?
He's a huge star in wrestling. I don't know, Dan doesn't watch as much wrestling as you, and Mike watches a ton of wrestling. So Adam Cole, when he was on NXT, I think it was like 76 Wednesdays we were head-to-head. And I've worked in sports a long time, and you know, thankfully have Fulham right now are on a great run, and I know you're going to want to talk football. Hopefully we talk some European football, some English football as well. But, you know, I've worked in sports a long time and have been in the NFL now. This is my 10th season, and it's my 6th season as the director of football at Fulham. And so I've seen a lot of things in sports and a lot of game planning. So in my 76 weeks head-to-head in pro wrestling, I did look at a little bit like preparing for an opponent. And a two-hour show is 8 quarter hours. And I'll tell you that the entire head-to-head run, the main guy on the other team was Adam Cole.
Baby.
And he was the guy that you would, boom, he was the guy that you would game plan against. And it was like, it's like signing the free agent that you used to game plan against and try to contain. And you would say, like, we can't let this be the guy to beat us. We can't, you know how I said it was, I think, 75-1 in the demo? The one episode we lost was December 18th. 2019, I was in Corpus Christi. They did an Adam Cole versus...
Baby.
Yep. Boom. Finn Balor match. It was Adam Cole versus Finn Balor.
Baby.
And they did like a long match with no commercials. And I think they did the first half hour, no commercials. And that's the only time in, you know, that whole run, almost a couple years, that we lost the demo. And I took it very personally, but I also have held him in such high regard. And every Wednesday, he was the guy you'd worry about. So now to have him on our team, and he can be a young guy you build around and also a great veteran like Bryan Danielson coming in, is change a game. Our women's wrestling has gotten so much stronger since we started, and that's come also through free agency. Like I said, Ruby Soho is a great wrestler from WWE who got fired. And there's been a lot of great wrestlers that have gotten fired recently. And this is something that I've been able to take advantage of since I started up, because they do these mass layoffs and they fire like 20, 25 people at a time. And I don't mean to make light of it, because like the exact number counts. I mean, I want to, you know, whether it's 18 or 19, I mean, everyone matters. I'm not trying to make anybody a statistic, because it's terrible when anybody loses their job. And that's why I've never done these mass layoffs. I mean, since we started, a couple people here and there have had to let go, but have never let 20 people go on one day or anything like that. And I, each time I look at the list, there's always a few people in there that can help us. And I feel terrible for, say, 17 out of the 20 who don't sign with AEW, but I feel like every time I look at it, and there's three people that can make our team that much stronger, and it keeps happening. So it's something to keep an eye on for us, and it's definitely helped grow the company.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Greg Cody, your thoughts?
Stugatz.
Greg?
Okay, very good.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
American football is what I'm going to ask you about. Although, Whittingham, if you want to get in here with whatever you were shouting about, what were you shouting? Six in a row you were shouting?
Fulham have won 6 matches on the trot, lads. Massive run of form for the Cottagers.
And 5 straight clean sheets?
They just beat Blackburn Rovers by 7-0. Please. Flying.
Yeah. And Dan, you'd like it because Ham is in their name.
Yeah, full ham. And hey, no, in all seriousness, we have
the only kind of ham. That's the only kind of ham I'm going to endorse. Anything less than a full ham. Yeah, maybe me ham, maybe ham full, I will also endorse.
Six straight wins, five straight clean sheets, which Dan is a shutout, five straight shutouts, and a scoring margin over the last six matches of 21-1.
So the opposite of the Jags.
No, because the Jags have won two out of the three, I believe.
That's right.
They're also hot on the track.
And one of those was against the Dolphins.
I mean, Tony's on a hot streak right now. You are feeling really good today.
I am emboldened.
Yes.
I want to ask you about the taunting rules and the refereeing in the game last night. But first, I want to, because you are in the Jags front office, your father owns the team. You have done some winning recently. Right before the winning, though, there was great shame and embarrassment. What was that to go through like as an organization?
I can't really comment much about it. Urban said a lot about it, and clearly I think he had a lot of regret. And I know Urban really well, and I don't think he ever meant to hurt anybody. And I also think he's come in and been really professional about it. And if, you know, people said it was going to affect the team, and I'm sure... I know Urban talked about it a good amount, and if it hurt the team, it's possible, but I don't think it's stunted their growth because they've played better than ever the last few weeks, and it's not about football, like it's a personal situation, but I also think, you know, people asked how this was going to affect the football team, and it clearly hasn't hurt the football team.
But Jacksonville isn't exactly, and your front office isn't actually familiar with the kind of thing that happened there. Not that any of us are really, but for a coach to be embroiled in scandal, or for a coach to be famous enough for his scandal to matter, is not something that you've had in Jacksonville before.
Thankfully, no, haven't had a lot of problems with we've had a lot of great people, and we have a lot of great people at the Jaguars organization. So I think Urban's a really good person. I mean, he gets a lot of stick in the media, and I do think
most people don't think that about him.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people in the building who really do like Urban. And like the last time I was with you, I told you he's made a big difference for me, and, you know, things going really well. Outside of the Jaguars too, and like I said, the Jaguars have been on a pretty good run lately, and the young players have really come together. And if I was in the locker room, this past Sunday after the win over the Bills, and the energy in the locker room was that of a young team, like really coming together, and a coach who had a lot of love for his players, and players who love their coach. So I feel good about what's happening there. And like I said, for me, he's made a positive impact for me because he is an inspirational person, and he has very good advice and about leadership. I believe in a lot of what he believes. And as the director of football, general manager of Fulham, as the general manager, the CEO, the booker, the owner of AEW, as far as like coaching up people in AEW, and as far as running the personnel department at Fulham, he has a great organizational philosophy, which is in sports, people are way too quick to blame the players. And he is big on blaming himself and the people around him for mistakes. And he comes in and takes blame for things and is not quick to blame players. And when he goes to ownership, he will take responsibility for things that don't go wrong. And also, he holds his coaches really accountable, which reminds me a lot of Bill Walsh, because you'd hear
Mike. Tony, he made an unholy mess for the organization. Like, that's not about players. There wasn't any. We're talking about him making an unholy mess for an organization.
I again, like I said before, I mean, I don't think Urban ever meant to hurt anybody, and he's apologized. And again, I think I don't have much more to say about it than what he's already said, but I think from a football standpoint, it hasn't hurt the team. And I think football has seen people go through a lot of things before, and players have rallied around him right now.
Tony, I'm curious, with all your interest in NFL, pro wrestling, British soccer, music industry, and other stuff, I'm sure, what's the most fun for you? Like, professionally, what brings you the most joy right now?
It's hard to say. I really, Is Chris your? Do you have other kids besides Chris? Or is,
yeah, one other.
So you don't? You love them both, right?
No, and, I prefer one.
Not Chris.
Well, he's not saying.
I'm not saying.
He's not commenting, but he's saying there is the. He does, well, I didn't. No, but that
I didn't mean to get into a family squabble.
Are you not allowed to? Are you not just for most fun or least headaches
right.
or
not financially?
I imagine just your childhood enthusiasm around wrestling. I know you love sports. And you love different parts about all these jobs.
Highs. I'm telling you, I've experienced the highest highs. I'll tell you about like the highest highs I've had in each of them and the lowest lows. So, you know, we went to Pittsburgh and we were the only team ever to win in Pittsburgh twice in one season. And we beat the Steelers at Pittsburgh to go to the AFC Championship game after the Steelers had, and this is going back a few years and this is a very different team, but, you know, if anybody remembers that game, it was pretty amazing. And the scene in the locker room was, and I say this as one of the preeminent pro wrestling promoters in the world right now, the scene in the locker room was straight out of pro wrestling. Because if you remember the things that Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, Dari, all the guys in the locker room said that day, and you can go back and read it, it was some high level trash talk. And I remember sitting on the bus with Tom Coughlin being like, and honestly, God bless Jalen Ramsey. I haven't seen him in a long time. He's a great player, and we always got along very well. But man, that all the stuff those guys said that day, Miles Jack and all these guys, they played their ass off. It was like, I remember, it was like Muhammad Ali level trash talk, the stuff they said, because it was like, you know, to be at that highest level of sport and then see guys saying stuff that entertaining is the stuff that, and so then that was that scene to watch all the guys talking to the reporters and then read the aggregation of the quotes. Like the Deadspin article, I remember, was like the Jaguars just talked loads of shit. And we then flew back to the stadium and there were like thousands of fans waiting for the team. And Jalen Ramsey went on the field and he said, "We're going to the Super Bowl and we're going to win that bitch." And then we were in the AFC Championship game, and you know everyone knows what happened there. If you're
you had it won,
and if, you know,
tough call.
There's two ways to handle it, and we didn't run out of billboard. It wasn't a tough call; it was a bad call. It was worse or just as bad as the one everyone complained about the next year. And we didn't run out of billboard or complain about it. And I have loads of respect for Bill Belichick, and he's a really good friend of mine and somebody I really look up to. And I ended up texting him at like 1 a.m. that, you know, they scored the points and God bless him. And I've never gone out and, you know, bought a billboard or complained about it. But that was the highest highs and the lowest lows in football. In English football, the highest highs and the lowest lows. I mean, we've literally gone up and down. You know, we've been promoted at Wembley Stadium, won the playoff, and 80,000 fans, and then we've gone down a league and been relegated. And so the highest highs and the lowest lows. And in wrestling, it's the same way. The highest highs and the lowest lows. I mean, the highest high was absolutely the entertainment, the seeing the fans. Like when something really works, there's nothing really like it. Like because you're competing with yourself in a way to entertain the fans. So it is like the most fun on the whole, because it's, you're not competing with an opponent who can come in and have a great night and beat you. Like at the end of the day, like the biggest challenge is yourself. And in the COVID era, like there are obstacles, and Mike would tell you, like, you know, that we've had to work around a lot of challenges in terms of either, you know, somebody not able to travel because of like, you don't want to risk it. Or just a lot of crazy stuff that's come up completely unrelated to the pandemic.
What's Belichick like off the field?
Really, really, really smart. I don't think that would surprise anybody. He's got a really good sense of humor. I think off the, you know, when he does like the 15-minute answers to the press conferences?
To the long snapper. Tell me about the long snapper. He's doing that to amuse himself.
But that's right? What he's like in real life. Like that, like, you know what I mean? Like you see, he turns that side on, like when a reporter asks a question he really won't likes about like special teams or something like that.
Right.
And then he like,
he's trolling.
He's like, he gives those great answers, right? Because those are like authoritative answers on special teams. Like some of the most like,
but we want 15 minutes on the important stuff and I'll never give it to you. Really? It seems like.
But like that's what, but if you he'll give you important the importance to him. In real life, right. He'll important actually come like yeah, he's so that's what he's really like. He's great.
Before we get you out of here, you mentioned the talking shit element that you enjoyed. Wrestling is filled with that. Your NFL, your beloved NFL owners don't want that in their game. They don't want taunting. They decided a game last night because of something that would have been celebrated in wrestling, a roundhouse kick and a bumping of the referee. You feel how about the league's mandating, hey, let's clean up the taunting, even if it affects results?
I don't want to get fined. So I would like, I especially it would be a first to get fined for a game you're not even in. So I would like, I don't want, without talking too much about the officiating, I did this morning before I came in the studio think about that a little bit. And I have to admit, it crossed my mind that a taunt is very much a part of wrestling. In fact, in wrestling video games, Mike will tell you, there's like a button you press. There's a taunt button.
That's how I get my finisher.
So I do think that there's a time and a place for some fun dancing and taunting and moments. So I don't want ever to lose the fun spirit of the game. And that's about as much as I'd say, but I do kind of agree with some of what you're saying.
I put you in some bad spots with the football questions.
There appeared to be a hip check from Tony Correnti to draw contact.
He is in a different position as the head of the wrestling company and as the head of the soccer club than he is.
He's got a lot of going on here.
He really does. A lot of hats. Yep.
You should check out AEW Dynamite every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and AEW Rampage every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Both of those are on TNT.
And if I may, we have a huge, huge event on Saturday, the biggest pay-per-view of the winter, Full Gear. I guess it's technically not the winter yet, but the biggest pay-per-view of November, December, this holiday type season, Full Gear. It's, you know, AEW, we don't do like 14, 16 pay-per-views a year. We do four big pay-per-views and we build them up and I stack the card. And this is one of the most loaded wrestling shows you're going to see. CM Punk is wrestling Eddie Kingston. I mentioned very excited about CM Punk's comeback, but really the for so long AEW fans have been looking forward to this world title match, Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. They used to be the world tag team champions. It's been building to this world title match really since the beginning of AEW. Mike will tell you.
Great long form storytelling. And by the way, you mentioned Eddie Kingston. He just dropped a really revelatory article in the Players Tribune speaking about his depression that I was reading some of that while you were in studio. Check that out if that's ever anything anyone in our audience has dealt with, because seeing his journey through it and working out might help you and yours. It was pretty powerful.
Talk
stuff.
About the highest highs and the lowest lows. Like Eddie Kingston's talked about the lowest lows and he's keeps revealing more and more about some of the depression and things he's been through. And the highest highs, I know for him to be teaming with Mox and be standing there in the middle of Arthur Ashe Stadium in the main event, 20,000 people in his home city there in New York City. That was the highest highs, and from where he's come from and how low some of those moments have been from him and where he's been in the wrestling business to now be on national TV and be a big star and now be wrestling CM Punk on pay-per-view. It's a big deal, and like Mike said, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page has been the longest story in pro wrestling, and it has been building to this huge world title match, and then we'll find out what the future of the world title is, Kenny or Hangman.
One last question. You mentioned Jon Moxley, and historically in professional wrestling, when something's going on in someone's personal life, you put the veil up and you let them deal with that privately. You'll write something in the script and you keep it moving. You took the unprecedented step, really, in revealing and announcing to the world that Jon Moxley had entered himself into a treatment facility. Obviously, you discussed that with his family, and you ran that by Jon Moxley.
That was a plan with him and Renee. And he, you know, if you don't know, I don't know if you understand what's going on, Dan. So the backstory of this is, Mike, maybe you could tell him the backstory.
Jon Moxley was on TV one week, and then Tony.
He was in the main. I mean, he was going to be in the main event of the show last week.
Yeah,
and it's funny because, like, I will say, I have to say, It's like the media sometimes, and the wrestling media is like one of the harshest places for media. You got to trust me on this one, Dan.
I do trust you, Tony. On this one, I trust you.
So, John is so important to our show, and people question the rating of the show. But when he was off the show this past week, because we did this massive rating on our first Wednesday back, and I had loaded up the card. CM Punk was wrestling. John Moxley was wrestling. Even MJF wrestled, which is a rare. And so we had this really stacked card. We did a big number. And the next week, John Moxley versus Orange Cassidy is a huge match for us. And, when I got the call and John was checking into inpatient alcohol treatment, I knew that that was first and foremost like what I cared about. I didn't care about the rating. And when I had like, we did a great number. We're still one of the top shows on cable, but like, you know, we're down like you do a 0.33, like it's like still one of the big, you know, top shows on all of cable and satellite TV. But when I saw people talking about the rating, I was like, okay, like look at what we had on the show last week and then look at what was planned for this week. And we also had Eddie called in. Eddie was sick that night too. Thankfully he didn't have COVID or it would have really screwed plans up. But going back to this whole situation. So when I got the, I wasn't thinking about ratings. And then when it came to what you brought up, Mike, being transparent about it, that was not my call. That was up to John or Renee. And I told them I thought it might make sense to tell the fans, what do you think? And Renee totally agreed. And I think it's always served AEW well, being honest with the fans. And John has always had that great rapport with the fans. I'll do a plug for John right now, if you don't mind. By the way, have you read his book?
I've seen excerpts. By the way, I should also ask. I've seen of it. I haven't. It just came out. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm a big audiobook guy. Is the audiobook out?
He was going to do the audiobook. Right. Here's the thing. This book, and I'll give John a book plug, even though I should be plugging my own pay-per-view.
You've done that already.
Again, I should be plugging it.
And Rampage and Dynamite
and Full Gear. Thanks for that, Mike.
No, don't answer any difficult Urban Meyer questions.
So that's very good, Dan.
Tony Parenti.
John's book that he had just written, and it had just come out, he put so much time into this, and it is my favorite book because I really love John, and I love John as like a friend and as a person, but also I'm a fan of John, and he when it comes to like talking as a wrestler, like he has it. He has that charisma, and he also has a unique way of speaking and like a stream of consciousness way of talking. But I never knew he could actually write it on paper like that and that it would translate. And it totally does. And you've seen excerpts. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out when the audiobook comes out.
And the audiobook. So the audiobook is literally just going to be him talk. But the audiobook's going to be like the same thing because it'll be like him stream of consciousness talking.
He's got this very tough guy persona. And this was a very vulnerable thing that he did and a very brave thing that he did. I was wondering if there are any updates. Have you heard from the family?
Yeah, I talked to Renee today. We've been, you know, checking in, and she just had moved from Las Vegas to Cincinnati, and she's doing really well. And it's great update that John is doing better every day. And I've been asking her constantly, checking in, and I'm glad to hear that because I love him so much, and we miss him a lot.
Your favorite book. You have alleged that this is your favorite book. This is how much you like the book and how much you like the man.
I love wrestling books, and it's my favorite wrestling book, so it's got to be up there. It's definitely on my Mount Rushmore books, and Brian Danielson, who's an authority on wrestling and has read so many wrestling books, also said the same thing, his favorite wrestling book.
Sounds like a great listen.
Tony, thank you for being on with us. Congratulations on all the success.
You guys are too kind. It's always good to see you.
Thank you, Tony.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.